The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Table Talk. So there are four of us at the table tonight, obviously myself, Luke, Dave, Nato, and Ben, and we're going to be doing an audience request tonight. But before we get into that, there's something that's very important that's happened. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
So one of Nathaniel and I's teen class members, one of our kids, we call them.
So teen class, because Dave and Nathaniel are Sabbath school teachers. They teach the teens class at our church.
Yes. So one of our kids got baptized on Sabbath, so that was pretty special. So woo-hoo! Shout out to Elizabeth, who listens to our podcast from time to time. So
congratulations,
yeah,
Elizabeth.
Congratulations. We were so proud of you.
Yeah. Baptisms are always like super, super high days. Like, I love baptisms so much. And when it's someone that you actually know and, you know, have such appreciation for, it's all the more awesome. And the fact that you and Nathaniel are working so hard with those kids, like, I mean, the fact that, you know, how you guys must have seen that must have just been, next level. So,
well, I didn't see it so much as a reward for our labours. I don't know about you, Nato. I was just super proud of her for making that decision, you know.
Yeah.
Like, she was ready. She wanted to make that decision herself, you know. Mm. And I was just like, man, that's such a big call for a kid who's 14, you know, to be just saying, yeah, I'm sold out for Jesus. I was like, praise the Lord.
I think being a part of her journey is definitely a reward, but it's not seeing the baptism as the reward. It's just a reward to be part of her journey.
That's it.
What I think I appreciated, well, one of the things that I really appreciated about it was just seeing how well examined her own faith is. She has asked the questions that are hardest in her own mind, and she's found the answers that were enough for her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And there's a lot of people get baptized because, oh, you know, my friends are doing it, or, you know, there's social pressure or whatever it may be. Whereas I really, you know, there's nothing in me that thinks that that was her experience. You know, she really did seem to be confident in the decision she was making, which was awesome.
So speaking of hard questions, we got a good one tonight to talk about. Audience question. So shout out to Caitlin.
Yeah, Caitlin, hi. Thank you so much for listening, but also thank you for contributing a question. So the question that Caitlin sent is, why is it so hard to trust God's plan for your life?
Such a good question.
Yeah.
It's a simple question. You know, and we all think, hey, we want to trust God's plan for our lives. But then experientially it's like, and we've got all these buts along the way, and it's very hard. So great question.
Very simple, but every part of us wars against that simple
answer that it
becomes hard.
So I guess the presupposition that is baked into the question is that you know what God's plan is for your life. So I guess to start there, how would you know what God's plan was?
Well, I want us to answer your question anyway, but I don't think it's a presupposition. Like, I don't think that's necessary for us to ask this question.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll come back to that thought.
Sure.
So, how do we know God's plan for our lives?
Well,
you want to chase the rabbit?
Yeah. Well, that was just that part of me that I'm like, well, if you don't know what God's plan is, then why are you having trouble trusting it? You just don't know it then, right?
Well, I think that's
part of the reason why it's hard to trust sometimes, because you don't know it.
Yeah,
right?
I see your point. Okay. Yeah.
Often, like, God will lead you in a direction. It's a case of God giving you what you need rather than what you want. And what often you need is something that's in the complete direction of God. Why? No, God, come on.
You can think of old mate Joseph. I mean, things didn't go his way. I mean,
and it
ends up in
like
jail.
God's
it's
plan,
like.
Did it?
What's going on?
Yeah, that's right. Like, you know,
but it was preparing him for later on.
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, you know, it doesn't seem to be the right way to go. I mean, when you think about it from his perspective, you know, the son of a patriarch, you know, God's chosen family that are being raised up, and all of a sudden he gets taken out of the mix and casts in a totally different direction into slavery, and that's how it goes.
Yeah.
But as you read through the story, you begin to understand that it was for his own good. He became a good and upright, uprighteous man. So it's who knows what he would have become if he'd remained in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you ask the question, how do we know what God's plan for our life is? Hmm. Sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. We just know, like you said before, Ben, the beginning.
Yeah.
And so God will lead us in a direction, and we've just got to follow in that direction. Like, you think of how God introduced himself to Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. In Scripture, at least. You know, mm-hmm. of course, they would have had some interaction before we get to Genesis 12. But in Genesis mm-hmm. 12, God yes. says to Abraham, get out. Yeah. You know, get yeah. out of the country that you're familiar with. Leave your, mm-hmm. you know, all of the things that you've called home behind and go to a place that I haven't yet told you. Mm-hmm. And Abraham's like, okay. And I would have been like, where am I going, God? You know, what am I doing? I don't like the idea of just going. Yeah. Tell me where. Mm. But sometimes God, just like I said, points you in a direction, says, go there. I'll reveal the rest to you later. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the story of Abraham, there was good reason why God God was planning to reveal it to him later, right?
Mm. Yes.
You know? If God had revealed it to him all at once, Abraham would have been like, nah. I'm not going then. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If I have to go and sacrifice my son on a mountain, I ain't going.
Yeah. It's actually funny that you say that, because I was talking to Sarah earlier today, and you know, we were talking about the fact that, you know, Sarah, my wife, she's pregnant, and so, you know, pregnancy is not a fun time, and we're sort of getting towards the, you know, towards the end of it now, and you know, this is our second child, and so sort of like I said to her, I am so glad that you don't know fully what parenthood is like until you're already experiencing it. Because if you did, there would be a lot more apprehension, you know, like as
yeah, they're cute, but
yeah, well, the reward is enormous and you would never change it. Like every parent in the world says, and it's true, you wouldn't. But at the same time, if you actually experientially knew that before you actually made the decision to become a parent, you would probably wrestle with that decision a lot longer.
Yeah. Stop talking. No.
Yeah. So, but like I said, no regrets, you know.
Yeah, so God sometimes reveals to us a direction, and he does reveal things in various different ways, right? Mm. So how does God reveal his will to us? I think ultimately we have the basic knowledge of his will in his word, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't reveal to us the, you know, the detailed plan for Ben's life in his word. Yeah. He delivers to Ben the broad strokes of the plan for Ben's life here, of how Ben can become a godly man. Yeah. And then it's up to you, Ben, to choose how you're going to follow God's path and become that man that God has called you to be. And along the way, he'll lead you and he'll direct you. But ultimately, he's not going to reveal everything to you right from the start. And do you think that's kind of part of the answer to the question? Like, why is it so hard to trust God's plan for your life? Because we want to know everything from the start.
And it's not actually healthy for us to know everything from the start.
Yeah, like you were just saying, yeah.
Yeah. We would make different choices.
Yeah.
But the on the flip side, it also helps us have faith in God, that he's led us well in the past, he'll lead us well in the future. Yeah. And if we know everything else, well, where's the room for faith then?
Yeah. How's this for an example? God turns up at Gideon's place. He's like, yeah, you're going to lead an army. Gideon's like, not me. Not me. But if God had said to him, and by the way, Gideon, it's going to be an army of 300 at that point.
Against 120,000, wasn't it?
Yeah. Gideon would have been even less you know, willing to go, right? Mm. But because God started off by saying to Gideon, you're going to lead the army, and Gideon's like, not unless you prove it.
Mm.
And then he fulfills the couple of tests that Gideon gave him because he was faithless.
Mm-hmm.
Gideon's faith then was built from that experience. Mm. And then God says to him, now go and choose an army, right? Mm. He chooses an army. All right, we got the goods. We got a fair, you know, few men here. Mm. Still a little bit outnumbered, but we should be right. Mm. Then God says to him, you got too many, Gideon. Mm. You know, if God had revealed all of those steps at the beginning, like I said, Gideon would have faltered and he wouldn't have chosen that path for his life.
Yeah.
But God knew where Gideon's heart was at, and God worked with Gideon where he was at. And I think it's true in our lives too, that God will reach us where we're at, and he'll reveal to us the steps of our journey that we need to know now so that we can move forward in faith. And as our faith grows, he'll reveal more to us about the path that he's got in plan for us.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that is interesting about the question on the whole is the fact, well, what we're all talking is making, well, so far all the things that we've said has made the assumption that it's difficult to trust. It's not an easy thing to do. So why is it that we as humans have that tendency to lack trust, to desire knowledge, perfect knowledge of what's going to happen rather than be able to trust?
I think the big difference being able to trust is the difference between God's plan A and God's plan B. You've got to remember that although like God, we desire his plan A, which was just everything good for us. No pain, no suffering, wonderful life. Trouble is we're stuck with plan B because of our own faults.
Mm-hmm.
And plan B sucks.
Yeah. And part of plan B, Ben, is that it's kind of baked into our nature to distrust God, because that's where the whole thing went wrong in the first place, right?
That's the fallen condition.
Yeah, because of the fall, we all naturally harbor this distrustful, you know, spirit. And so because we're harboring that spirit all the time, we need to know, you know, as, like you said, all the facts before we go and, you know, move. Otherwise, we're not willing to place our trust. And I think it's because we have sort of an independent spirit.
Mm.
Whereas when Adam and Eve were created, you know, straight out of the hands of the Creator,
mm-hmm.
they were created with a dependent spirit.
Yeah. Mm.
And so part of the conversion, part of that transformation that God is trying to work in us, his sons and daughters,
mm-hmm.
is to bring us back to a dependent spirit.
Yeah.
Where we're trustful completely upon God to guide and to bless our lives.
Mm.
But again, that's hard. Because we have this natural distrust.
Mm. So God's plan B is to bring us back to plan A.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is, how many beings can we trust 100% of the time?
Yeah, good point. One.
Exactly. God is the only being that is 100% trustworthy.
And we can't see him.
And we can't see him, exactly. And so every relationship that anyone has ever had in their life has had an element of a lack of trust that is rooted in the fact that that's deserved.
A breach of trust.
Yeah, that there is a breach of trust. Yeah. And so even, you know, if there's a new friend that you have who seems wonderful, that might be great, but that's no guarantee that that person is going to be 100% faithful for the rest of your experience with them. Whereas God, it is. But like you say, we can't see him. And so we have 0 point of reference for a completely trust-filled relationship.
Mm. Not quite zero, though, because I just noticed when you were talking just then, I hadn't thought about this before.
Mm.
You know, the whole God has put eternity in our hearts thing.
Mm-hmm.
The very fact that we want that, you know, suggests that inside of us there is this innate desire to want to trust, right?
Mm.
Because otherwise, breach in trust wouldn't feel so bad, and otherwise, our expectations of people wouldn't be so high. Because let's be honest, we expect people to, you know, be completely trustworthy. Yeah, we also expect them to fail because of the fallen nature, but it's still our expectation and our hope and our desire that they wouldn't.
Mm. Well, it's part of being relational beings.
Yep.
Part of a relationship is being able to trust.
Yep.
But
yeah, sorry, not to derail what you were saying, though, Luke, because I think there's a yes and there's also a no to what you're saying. But your point still stands in that because God is so intangible to us and everyone else is so faulty, it then becomes hard to take fault out of the equation when you're dealing with God and to not question him and to not be like Habakkuk, who's like, God, I don't like your plan, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like you telling me that the Babylonians are going to come and they're going to destroy our city. I don't like it, God. And so we do that because I think we transpose over the character of God our own faulty expression of just what reality's like.
If I can just go back to what you interrupted me for, like, I want to go back to that. I think that is really interesting because it reminds me of C.S. Lewis when he was writing about the fact that if there is something, a desire in the human heart for which there nothing on this earth can fill, then the only logical conclusion is that I must have been made for another world.
Yep.
You know, ducklings desire water, you know, sorry, desire to swim. There is such a thing as water. And so, you know, there's naturally things that will fill it in the world. What you're saying is because we have a natural desire for someone that is trustworthy,
there must be someone.
There must be someone who is, which is ultimately God.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
And yet it's so difficult to trust that one who is actually ultimately trustworthy, because, like I'm saying, we transpose over him our own characteristics, and we believe the lie that he isn't trustworthy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, it just reminds me of one of the verses I've got here, Proverbs 3.
Mm-hmm.
5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight.
And that second clause, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's easy for us to say, we'll trust in the Lord with all of our heart, but lean not on your own understanding. Hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on.
as the Bible says, God's ways are not our ways, and he can see so many more moves ahead. I think that's the other problem is
we're so nearsighted.
Some of us can just see so many moves ahead, 5-6 moves, and they all look awful, but they don't see that num 7-8 and further on. It actually takes you through a dark spot to get to the good bit. But and God can see that, we can't.
And we should also mention that God's plan for our lives, like you said, Ben, there's a plan A and there's a plan B. And part of the plan B is that his hands have been tied from certain areas of our lives. But he's still going to try and bring the very best he can out of the terrible situations we find ourselves in.
Yes.
So if you find yourself in a situation like Daniel, we were talking about earlier, who's taken captive, he's made a eunuch, he ends up having to serve this pagan king who's just destroyed his city and probably killed his family. And now he's in that situation and he has to trust that this is God's plan for his life. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, Percy.
Well, that's a really dark place.
Well, when we find ourselves in that dark place, how are we going to respond? Are we going to blame God? Or are we going to say to God, I don't think this is your fault, but I trust that you can bring something good out of this bad situation. And it's very hard to do that when you're in the midst of it. So certainly if somebody's listening to this and they're going through something, you know, you have our sympathy. We're not trying to discredit what you're going through.
Yeah. It's legit, but
the Bible does teach that God has a good plan for whatever it is you're going through. And that's not to say that he wanted whatever happened to happen. It's that it's to say that God is going to renovate your scenario, and he's going to make something beautiful out of the mess that it currently is.
So just going back on what you were saying about Habakkuk, and even leveraging off what you're saying now, there's a lot of times where the plan doesn't feel good.
No.
So what do we do? How do we, like, at a practical level, how do we respond when we're saying, God, your plan really doesn't look real flash right
now? Can I ask a question before that?
Yeah.
So we're only going to respond right if we relate right,
yeah?
So the question I think that we should ask ourselves before how we're going to respond is, how do we see God in that situation? Mm-hmm. You know, because if we're not seeing him right, Job's friends, for example, then we're going to act wrong. Mm. Whereas if we're seeing him right, not even Job... You know, he was acting in spite of his feelings, which is just another level altogether.
Yeah.
But Abraham, the reason he trusted God was because they were friends.
Mm-hmm.
Enoch, he was walking with God. Mm. Moses, friend of God. These guys that were great people that trusted God through terrible adversity, they had something going on with God that was a personal, relational level that was strengthening their faith to the point where they could trust him in the midst of that struggle, right?
Yeah.
So how are we going to relate to God, I think, has to be based in how are we going to act has to be based in how we're relating to God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you think about that in that context, think of it like establishing precursors to trust, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you guys think about it. Like, tell me, who's some of the a person that you trust probably more than just about anybody else in your own experience?
You.
Thank you. but why do you trust me?
Because we've built rapport.
Yeah.
Because we've tested each other. We've had experiences that tell me that you're not going to let me down. And if you do, it's going to be an accident.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right. And so if that's how we work as humans, we've got to work the same way with God.
That's right.
That's relational beings.
Because he's the whole next level where he can't.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Let us down.
He can't let us down. And so, but the only way we're going to be reciprocal, the only way we're going to feel it on our end is to get experience with God. Yeah. And that's not something that you can do in an instant.
No.
If you find yourself dumped in the worst situation of your life and you're going through pain right now that is unthinkable, you are not going to be able to easily say, oh, well, I'm just going to have faith and trust in God.
Yeah.
You need to build up that relational equity first, not because God won't help you otherwise, but because you won't trust him to help you otherwise.
Yeah. I was telling you about that book the other day, Speed of Trust.
Summarizing
it in one sentence, we grow at the pace that we learn to trust. So our growth in human relationships, like you're just talking about, will occur at the speed at which we learn to trust the other person that we're relating to.
Yeah.
And it's the same in our spiritual experience. If we're going to grow to trust God's will for our life, that growth is only going to occur at the speed at which our trust grows in God. So that's certainly the key.
Mm.
So you asked, how do we act, right? How do we act when, you know, things aren't the way we wanted it to be? I think there's like a really powerful example of this in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the prophets, they were given visions and dreams, And then there's Hosea.
Who was given a prostitute.
Yeah. God's like, go and marry a harlot.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, wow. Wow. Hosea and God must have been tight, man.
Yeah.
Because there is no way that I would have done that if I had not had that level of experience and trust in God that Hosea must have had to have done that. And so that plan would not have looked good, right?
Yeah.
You know, to Hosea's eyes, he would have been like, God, why are you setting me up for failure? Right?
Yeah.
But God had a plan that was bigger than Hosea. Mm. And I think sometimes we have to trust God's plan is bigger than ourselves.
I think he would have been going, is it actually you, God, that's telling me that?
Yeah.
Like, is this your plan?
Yeah.
Or... Because I mean, someone else.
If you wanted to apply, you know, popular reasoning to that, and you were to say, oh, well, if God is going to ask me to do something, and I want to know if it was actually God asking me, well, then I've got to see if it's in harmony with his word.
Yep.
And, oh, well, you know,
nope.
That doesn't check that box, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but ultimately, like you say, you know, when you see it in the context of the greater book, then you see that God is making a statement about his people and he's building a picture of what it looks like for his people to relate to him. And so they work through this process together.
Yeah, and God told Hosea. Like, he was a prophet. God had, like, sort of this explicit access with Hosea. So it's not like one of us going, I have this feeling that I need to go and do such and such. It was like God literally spoke it into Hosea's mind, and there was no
question.
Going back on it. And but yet he still would have questioned it, I'm sure.
He gave reason for it as well, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
So Hosea wasn't gone...
He wasn't going in blind, but he would have gone, I'm sure.
This is the reason for it.
Yeah. But so Hosea's response was to be faithful in spite of what the request looked like.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've got to do. That's hard. Yeah. That's assumed in the question.
Yes.
And that's correct. Yeah. It is hard to trust God's plan for our lives, particularly when it doesn't make sense to us. But that's where, like Ben said, we've got to stop leaning on our own understanding. Mm. And in all of our ways, we've got to acknowledge him and let him direct our paths. Mm. And then you read further on, this is in the Psalms, and David says that God will give us the desires of whose heart?
Our heart.
So as we learn to trust God more and more and more, our desires and his desires become meshed as one, and then all of a sudden we're getting God's desire and our desire.
Yeah.
And so that's where we've got to head toward. But until we get there, we just got to not lean on our own understanding.
Yeah, it's all building that relationship. I mean, and how we view God because of that. I mean, if we see him as the classical tyrant and our life goes south, you're going to just turn around and blame God and rebel.
Yes.
Because you have an ugly view of God. But when you actually see God, how he shows himself in the Bible, then you can build on that relationship and actually go, this is a terrible situation, but God's going to get me out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And not falsely charge him with it.
I don't know where the verse is, but in the book of Micah somewhere, there's this story of how, you know, Israel is being led captive, right? And it says in this sort of prophetic picture that as Israel are going captive, there's somebody at the head of the march, and that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is going ahead of them. And sometimes when we do follow God's plan, it's going to hurt, right? So let's be real. You know, all who live godly will suffer persecution. So there are going to be times in our lives where following God's plan is not going to be fun. It's not going to be nice. God wants our lives to be happy, absolutely. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be, you know, easy. And so following God's plan may require sacrifice. But the thing we've got to always remember is, just like in the story, when Israel are being led captive, that's not a nice situation to be in. But God's plan is being fulfilled and Jesus is at the head. Mm-hmm. In other words, he is the one that marches before them. He is there in their pain. He is experiencing it all. And so when God asks us to do something that's not going to be pleasant, we've got to remember that he's there with us.
And how
he's suffering too.
There is no better way for us to build trust with him for the next event in our life, because ultimately he's going through the painful part with us.
Yes.
Yeah. And so this is actually a leverage, a point of leverage to get a greater confidence in him because he went through it with you.
Yep.
This sounds like that poem, The Footprints in the Sand.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's a beautiful
poem. Deepest, darkest times in his life. There was only one set of footprints.
Yeah.
It's like, where were you? That's the time I was carrying you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, just take a look at those footprints.
Yeah.
They're a bit bigger than yours.
So, just, I guess, to wrap it up, I feel like we've kind of gone a lot of places with this. I feel like we've done a good job, but anybody else? Got some?
I just want to ask ideas? A question, if we can, like, unless you've got anything else to finish on, but I just want to ask a question over each of us. Yeah. Just really quickly, first thing that comes to your mind, why is it so hard for you to trust God? What in your experience right now makes it difficult? Who's up first? Cog's turn.
I think for me it's partly not knowing what his plan is.
Yep.
So it's like
your mind's very similar to that. I'm a visionary. I like to see the future. And if I can't, if the future looks dark to me, I feel lost, I don't know where I'm going, and it's frustrating as anything.
Yeah.
And so when God says to me, I will reveal my plan, you just gotta wait. Yeah. Hardest thing out.
Yeah.
Hardest thing out.
I think for me the is slightly different, and, mm-hmm. and that is for me, I do feel like I've got a pretty good picture of where God is taking me. For me, I just feel like the vision that's in my head is very, very slow in coming, and I feel like it's years late.
Yep.
And so I'm you know, sometimes
that's real.
It's hard. Like I argue with God a little bit about this sometimes, you know, like just to be really real with you guys. Like I sometimes say to God, look, I don't get it. I don't understand what you want.
Could you hurry up already?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's legit. And it's just a part of the experience. You know, I trust him, but yeah, it's hard. Mm.
And you know what? I think God smiles when that happens. I don't think God's offended.
No.
By you whinging. Mm.
Yeah,
not at all.
In some regards, it could be like Peter, like he was gung ho and yeah, let's go chop into these guys that are trying to attack you.
Yeah.
Hang on, Peter. Yeah. It's not quite what I got planned for you.
Yes,
not that sort of fighting.
Yeah.
We're talking about a spiritual fight that you need to.
How about you,
into.
Ben?
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm coming out of that dark place because I've had one disaster after another for like a couple of years, and I'm finally getting back to that point where I can see the light. So a few months ago it was hard because all I saw was darkness, all was pain, and it was a really bad place. And now that I'm coming out of it, I'm starting to see everything's coming back together, and I can see the structure that God's giving me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I've still got it's a little bit hard because he's taking me in a direction that's unfamiliar. And there's a little bit of unknown there, and I've got to try and put it together.
Yeah, that's another hard one for me.
But it's a lot easier at this point now to trust because God's taken me from such a dark place. I mean,
building.
Yeah, I kind of look at it. It's kind of like Job's journey, only over 2 years because I couldn't take it in a day.
Yeah.
Job had it hard. I mean, how can you take that?
Yeah.
And not just go and suggest and do what his wife suggested.
Yeah, curse God and die.
Yeah.
So great question, Caitlin. Love to hear any feedback from the audience as to, you know, what you guys think are the things that make it specifically hard for you to trust God in your life. And if you have questions, you know, fire them away. You know, we don't claim to be able to answer them all, but I'm sure somebody who looks at the social media will be able to.
You reckon we should finish on that verse in Proverbs again?
Yeah, why not?
That's a good one.
You had that open, Ben. You want to read that one for us?
Okay, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right, well, we'll catch you guys next time. And if you enjoyed this episode, share it with your friends. And we look forward to hearing from you guys. And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our
mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/OzTableTalk, and you can give anything from even $1 a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.